I'm not trading away an NFL quarterback for a complete unknown. And I know Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman. There's been a lot of Heisman Trophy winners that have done jack shit in the NFL. He is a complete unknown until he plays NFL football, and he has not done that yet. Jackson Dart has done that. He has played NFL football, and he has been very impressive at times. No way anybody can convince me that he is somebody the Giants should be giving up on after this impressive rookie season. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And Alex, can you believe Christmas is only 1 week away? I feel like this year just absolutely flew by. And let me tell you this, the only thing that I want for Christmas is a winning Giants football team. That's it. That's all I want, is for the New York Giants to be good again. Santa, please deliver. That's the only thing on my wish list. I just want to see the Giants be a good competitive football team after this season ends, though, because I don't want to see them get a culture win here in week 17 and ruin their draft pick, because right now they're picking first overall, and that's what we're talking about in today's episode. What are they going to do with that first overall pick? Because there has been a growing number of Giants fans, not just in our comment sections here on the Fireside Giants YouTube, but all across Twitter. I've heard talking heads on WFAN and ESPN. All of a sudden, there's this growing number of people saying that the Giants should draft Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza with the first overall pick. What are we doing? In my opinion, that is absolute insanity. I want to talk about that with you today, Alex, and just discuss why Jackson Dart is the future of this team. The Giants should be building around him. They should not be trying to reset the quarterback clock 12 months after they just reset it to bring in Jackson Dart last year. So that's what we're going to discuss in this episode. Should the Giants entertain this idea at all? No. Why is it a ridiculous idea? And hey, maybe we'll play some devil's advocate. We'll look at it from the other side of the coin and say, okay, concussions. We're going to talk about the whole concussion thing that's been going on with Dart. We saw Dan Quinn on Hard Knocks mentioning, hit him like a running back because that's how he plays. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how many times he's been to the blue tent throughout the season and how that's been completely overblown by the media narratives and everything that's happened this season. So we're going to dive into it all. This should be a really fun episode. Strap in. Do leave a like if you're enjoying. Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? Almost Merry Christmas. I know you want the same thing as me for Christmas, a winning Giants football team in 2026. But you know, what's your reaction to Giants fans or talking heads, whoever it is that's suggesting they should trade away Jackson Dart and draft Fernando Mendoza if they have the first overall pick?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited about the holidays. I wonder if Santa could play right guard for us next year on a reasonable contract. Now, keep eating those cookies, big man. We're going to need some support in the trenches. But I'll tell you what, the latest narratives and the latest ridiculousness regarding the Giants trading Jackson Dart, the Giants drafting Fernando Mendoza, like, Mendoza is a great player, don't get me wrong. He's a very, very great, very, very good player. But Jackson Dart has proved this year that he is not just a good player at the collegiate level, he's also a very good player at the NFL level. His ability to anticipate throws, his ability to run the football, to maneuver in the pocket, to buy time, he's got everything you want in a modern star NFL quarterback. Why would you hit eject on that 2 years in to a rookie contract? That is why we don't have nice things, guys, because people make ridiculous comments like we should trade Jackson Dart because he may get too many concussions, because he runs the ball too much, because he takes too many big hits. He's a rookie. He's going to learn the hard way, and he is learning the hard way. He knows he has to protect himself, and he did pretty well this past game when we watched him play. He slid. He got out of bounds. You know, he did what he had to do. He's going to learn no matter what. Josh Allen learned. I mean, how many? Lamar Jackson learned. They all thought they could run around and do whatever they wanted. A couple injuries and concussions later, they now don't feel like they can do that. And now they play a much different game. So let's let him evolve and get better and improve and stop trying to run really good players out of town. The people that are suggesting that, they don't really know what they want. I think they just want chaos. That's really what I think it is at this point. As a Giants fan, I think people just like and want and look for chaos to justify their opinions. Justifying trading Jackson Dart, I mean, that's the most backward logic you could possibly find yourself in. And the much more reasonable logic, Anthony, is that if the Giants do have the first overall pick, let's steal mad draft picks. Let's go to the Jets and say, hey, you want Fernando Mendoza? Awesome. We don't need him. We have our guy already. However, we will take X, Y, and Z. And we're going to talk about what that might look like, what the Giants can really get, and the one team standing in our way of achieving that goal and having all that stuff, having all those assets, man. Head coach, GM, You're gonna get the cream of the crop, man. You're gonna get the best options out there, and that's definitely inspiring.
That one team standing on our way, the Las Vegas Raiders in Week 17, the ultimate tank bowl. Giants win that game. They are not picking first overall. They lose that game. It's all but a lock to pick first overall. So we've got this game on Sunday afternoon versus the Vikings. That's first up. But after that game, we go into the major tank bowl, assuming that the Giants lose this weekend, which is an easy assumption right now. They've lost 8 in a row, but if the Giants win this weekend, okay, it's a moot point anyway. The Giants won't be picking first overall, but let's discuss it from the frame of mind of if they lose out, should they go for Mendoza, should they trade that pick, whatever. You guys know where we stand, but I do want to dive into this Jackson Dart concussion thing, Alex, because as I said at the top of the show, I think this is a narrative that's been completely overblown. I saw people reacting to that hit that Jackson Dart took this past weekend versus the Commanders. Listen, we were there. We were in the stands. We were at the 50-yard line. We had phenomenal seats. Shout out to my guy, Lucci. We had a great angle of this Jackson Dart run into contact. And let me tell you, he did not run into contact. He slid, protected his body, and then just happened to fall into somebody's leg, and they pulled him off the field and checked him for a concussion. He did not need to be checked for concussion on that play. That was a routine football play. That happens to quarterbacks almost every single time they run the football. He protected his body. He gave himself up. He just fell into somebody's knee and they pulled him off the field for two plays. What did that do? Prevented the Giants from having their offense build momentum and actually get into the end zone. They went four and out on the goal line. It was embarrassing play calling that caused them to go four and out, but also it doesn't really help when your quarterback is on the sidelines for three plays getting checked out for concussion when he made a routine move to fall forward and protect his body. So it's kind of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because when Dart runs to the sideline and tries to pick up extra yards, he gets blown up and all of the media pulls this narrative out of their butts and says, oh my God, Jackson Dart's going to have a two-year career. And then when he actually does protect his body, he gets grazed against his dome and he gets pulled off to the sideline anyway. It's completely overblown. And I was looking at some of the reactions, Alex, to people who saw the statistics. He's been in the medical tent 5 times in 10 games. Is that a concerning statistic? Sure. But let's look at the context behind those 5 times that he's gone to the medical tent. He has only had one concussion, which means the spotters have brought him in 5 times, and 4 of those times, he was completely fine. There is a sensitivity to Jackson Dart right now just because of his playing style, because he likes to hit people, he likes to play football. They are taking him to the sideline way too often. I watch Buffalo Bills games. I watch Kansas City Chiefs games. I watch Baltimore Ravens games. Those quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they run into contact all the time. Do they get pulled off to the sideline every single time they get hit? No. Why is this happening to Jackson Dart? Media narratives. That's the answer. Again, Jeff Schwartz, take him as an example, Alex. He's now a media pundit. He used to play for the New York Giants. I can tell that that man did not watch the play in week 15 where Jackson Dart got pulled off to the sideline because he tweeted out, oh man, I don't think his career is going to last more than 3 seasons if this keeps up. Brother, he barely got touched. He was barely even touched on that play. So again, what I'm falling back to, Alex, is that this is just an overblown media narrative of people who've just become sensitive because Brian Daboll snuck into the blue tent in week 6 when the Giants were playing in primetime. This is a problem still stemming from the days of Brian Daboll because he was irresponsible. He went into that medical tent and made a big spectacle for the New York Giants, and that's why everyone's become so sensitive to Jackson Dart and the way that he plays the game. He does not play the game nearly as recklessly as people claim, in my opinion. Can he do a better job protecting himself? Guys, yes, he can, and he needs to. But this is not a Jackson Dart problem. This is not a Jackson Dart's going to have a short career problem. This is a NFL media became too sensitive to this thing problem, and this is a Giants coaching staff not knowing how to protect him properly problem. That's what this is. So Jackson Dart, overlook this one issue that he has and focus on the good. Because the kid is making history as a rookie. This is the best rookie season from a quarterback that the New York Giants have ever had in franchise history. Look at the stats. Compare him to Daniel Jones. Compare him to Eli Manning. Compare him to Phil Simms. Compare him to whoever you want. This is the best rookie quarterback season in New York Giants franchise history. I am not trading this kid away because he went to the medical tent 5 times and had the first concussion of his lifetime this year. That's right. This is the only time in his life he's had a concussion. He didn't have any in college. He played the same way all throughout college. He's had one concussion in his life, and it happened against the Bears. Go check in on Drake May, how many times he went to the medical tent last year, how many times he suffered concussion that year and this year, how many times he's gone to the medical tent. He's fine. He's an MVP candidate. I see similar potential for Jackson Dart. I am not trading him away. So, Alex, I know I went on a long tangent there, rambling, ranting. I'm frustrated about this narrative. I want to get your take on it as well and just kind of hear you kind of echo the sentiment here. This is an overblown narrative. Jackson Dart is too talented to give up on just because he takes a few hits.
Well, you know, let me sum it up pretty easily for you. Why do you think Jackson Dart is the center of attention right now? That's the question I'll ask you. You tell me what you think. Why is he?
Because he's the quarterback for the New York Giants.
That is correct. We are in New York. People don't realize how much money these broadcasting networks and these big platforms make off of the New York Football Giants because we are in the largest media market in the world. You know what I mean? Every storyline is money. Every single one. So they will jump on every little tiny piece of detail, any little bite-sized snack that they can get because it equals millions of dollars. That's simply put, that's why Jackson Dart and his whole concussion thing is so blown out of proportion. Yeah, he's taking some hits. Yeah, he's learning the hard way. Just like Josh Allen did. Just like Lamar Jackson did. Just like even Patrick Mahomes did. Like, there's a lot of guys that have went through the same exact process Jackson Dart is staring down the barrel of right now. He has coaches telling him, don't do it. He's watching. Why is it on Hard Knocks? Because they're playing the New York Giants. If it weren't playing the New York Giants, nobody would give a freaking crap what Dan Quinn is saying. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because they're playing the Giants, just because it is the Giants, just because it's the market, that these things are maximized to the end of the earth. You know what I mean? They're just enhanced. They're sensationalized. Like, I promise you, Jackson Dart does not think this is a big deal, and I highly doubt anybody else thinks it's a big deal within that building. I think that, I will say this though, while I do think it's completely blown out of proportion, Anthony, I do think, however, there have been moments where he has been put in positions to get injured, right? Opening up the probability of him getting injured. I know this is his style, this is his game. I think that's totally fine. You can use it, you can control that. You know, you can use that proactively. The Giants, however, are down 3-4 scores, and they're running Jackson Dart at the goal line when that's when players are hitting you the hardest, right? You're trying to get across the goal line. That's when you're going to take those extra hits. They're unnecessary. Anthony, we watched the Giants do it in real time. Run the I formation. Run downhill. Freaking send a freaking linebacker into the freaking end zone. I don't care. You don't have to run Jackson Dart in that instance. So while I do think that this is definitely being sensationalized, the Giants at times do dumb shit, excuse my language, that confuses me and says you don't have to put your quarterback in harm's way unnecessarily, and they tend to do that. So that's where my big concern gets. It's not about Jackson Dart and the way he plays. It's about the Giants and not understanding they don't have to do things that put your most important player in harm's way. That's where I get pissed off. I get more pissed off at the coaching than I do Dart.
I 100% agree with that because, like you said, we were at that game, we were watching it. Four plays they had on the goal line, not once did they have a fullback out there, not once were they in the I formation. When you are 4 yards away from the end zone, how do you not think to just pound it up the middle and fall forward? It's so easy to fall forward for a couple of yards. If you just run halfback dive out of the I formation 3 times, the odds of you actually scoring a touchdown there are probably greater than 70%. The Giants didn't score a touchdown because they had Wandale Robinson in the backfield. They're throwing bootlegs to the right side and shrinking the field in an already shrunken portion of the field. This is a coaching problem. They're running up the middle with Jackson Dart. This is a coaching problem. Jackson Dart's fine. Jackson Dart is super talented. And that's where I need to make this comparison. Now let's talk about Fernando Mendoza because this is the narrative. We already talked about the whole concussion scares. There's fans who think he's going to have a short career. So what's their response to that? It's not, oh, the Giants coaching staff needs to do a better job protecting him. Their response is, trade him away. Go ahead and draft Fernando Mendoza first overall. Let's talk about how ridiculous this is, Alex. Listen, Fernando Mendoza is very impressive. I think Fernando Mendoza, he's worthy of being the number one overall pick in the draft. But he is not worthy of giving up on a quarterback who has proven he can win tough games in the NFL. I know he's only won 2, Jackson Dart, but he's proven that he can play at a high level in the NFL. I'm not trading away an NFL quarterback for a complete unknown. And I know Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman. There's been a lot of Heisman Trophy winners that have done jack shit in the NFL. He is a complete unknown until he plays NFL football, and he has not done that yet. Jackson Dart has done that. He has played NFL football, and he has been very impressive at times. No way anybody can convince me that he is somebody the Giants should be giving up on after this impressive rookie season. I would much rather trade down from that pick. And again, Mendoza, very good player. Jackson Dart has proven he's a good NFL player, and that's a big difference.
I haven't even seen this kid throw a pass to Malik Nabers yet for the most part, and I'm supposed to trade him already? Like, what the hell are you guys talking about, man? I sometimes I go online, and I'm like, I just lost brain cells, man. I really just got dumber today. Because, like, it's just it's a waste of time to rationalize those types of opinions and argue with people who have those type of opinions. You know what I mean? Like, those people do not know ball. It's as simple as that. For the people using that phrase, they do not know ball. It's that simple. So, you know, I don't want to stay too long on that topic because it's not worth even going forward with. But Anthony, let's talk about this draft scenario. Let's talk about what the Giants can actually do to get better, not what they can do to get worse. How about that? So the Jets, being the Jets, want a quarterback so bad, and Mendoza is the shiny toy that they really want to acquire, and the Giants at the moment have the first overall pick. Anthony, tell me exactly what we would get via this latest PFF mock draft. What would the Giants get out of this?
Well, we already talked about the PFF mock draft with the Jets, so I want to kind of take this into a broader sense.
We talked about this already on the channel,
so let me take this into a broader sense and talk about trading down from the first overall pick with any of these teams, because it's not just the Jets. Everybody loves to point to the Jets because everybody knows the Jets want a quarterback. Cleveland Browns also have two first-round picks in this year's draft. They need a quarterback. The Los Angeles Rams have made it pretty clear that they want to draft Matthew Stafford's successor and have him play behind Matthew Stafford. They are in the market for a quarterback. There are a lot of other teams in the market for a quarterback, and whichever way you slice it, the Giants could probably trade down and gain three first-round picks out of this trade. You're talking about two picks from the Jets or the Browns, since they have two this year, and probably a 2027 pick on top of that. If it's a team like the Rams, who are going to be picking, they have two first-round picks this year as well. They also have two first-round picks because they have the trade from the Falcons last year. You're talking about two first-round picks this year and probably a 2027 first-round pick. So if you're asking me what could the Giants get, they could get three first-round picks. They could probably get an extra second-round pick, and they could probably get a starting level player. Why is that the trade package that I'm pitching to you, Alex? Because that is what the Chicago Bears got for the trade down in 2023 when they were picking first overall and the Panthers moved up for Bryce Young. So we're talking about a scenario where the Giants could potentially get a WR1 like the Bears did when they acquired DJ Moore in that trade with the Panthers, and three first round picks plus two second round picks. That's what the Bears got, that absolute haul. And that haul, honestly, was probably overkill from the Carolina Panthers. If the Giants get even half of that haul, it is a massive W. It is a major success. It is three potential starters from day one through the draft, plus an established veteran starter in the NFL. How do you say no to that? That is how you maximize the talent around your young quarterback. Everybody wants to say, okay, Daniel Jones looked good as a rookie. He had impressive stats as a rookie. If you could go back and do it over again, you would draft Justin Herbert with the fourth overall pick in 2020. That's true. But the problem wasn't that Daniel Jones showed promise and then the Giants failed to replace him the next year. The problem was that they failed to put adequate talent around him the next year and the subsequent 4 years. Jackson Dart has shown promise this year, and they have an opportunity, if they're picking first overall, to surround him with a litany of young talent. That's what they can't squander. It's not about squandering, potentially taking another quarterback 1 year later. The problem is that the Giants didn't surround Daniel Jones with talent, and they are now staring a gift horse in the mouth. They have a chance to surround Dart with way more talent than Daniel Jones ever had and build a winning football team, and that's what they need to do. So trading down, Alex, that's what they can get. Potentially three first-round picks, potentially two second-round picks, and the player on top of that. I don't see how you forego that opportunity to just make a quarterback swap after 1 year.
I mean, you don't. You don't forego the opportunity. And I'm going to reflect on yesterday's episode for a second, because I think this is exactly where the Giants find themselves in a really good position, why a new general manager will identify that very, very quickly and see, okay, why did the Giants spend $100 million this past offseason? Well, they let, and by the way, dude, I don't know if you've looked at Javon Holland and Xavier McKinney's contracts. This is going to blow your mind. Javon Holland is getting almost $10 million more in guaranteed money than Xavier McKinney. That is bonkers. The cap hits next year are almost identical. Like, we got worse.
That is because Joe Shane lost all of his leverage in those negotiations. He failed to maximize the opportunity, and he let the opportunity take advantage of him.
Yeah, he failed miserably. So, like, when we talked yesterday about $100 million being spent to replace an all-pro level safety who got better the 2 years after he left, and replacing Deonte Banks with Paulson Adebo on that, you know, additional, was it $53, $54 million contract, the Giants got worse, and they really made these moves to supplement their own mistakes. Joe Shane made these moves to cover up his own, you know, problems, and as someone commented, he said recently in the press conference, I only want to make the same mistake twice. He makes them 3 to 5 times, like over and over and over. So the right path about this, right, is not to just throw money. Because if you just do a quarterback swap, you walk away with the draft capital you had before, you know, for the most part. You're trading Jackson Dart. Maybe you get an extra first rounder from him. Well, like, obviously, he's still a rookie, and, like, you know, or he'd be going to his second year. So, like, you kind of look at the situation and say to yourself, like, why would you do that? The Giants, in this instance, also, let me keep in mind, the first overall pick makes a hell of a lot more money than the 25th overall pick. So Jackson Dart's contract is so attractive. You know, first round pick is getting paid $8, $9, $10, $11, $12 million per season scaling up, where Jackson Dart's is, I mean, I think at the maximum he's making $3 or $4 million. So, like, you know, that's just a sizable difference in the long run. But, you know, you can trade with the Jets in this instance, in this mock scenario. You get a plethora of really, really young and cost-efficient pieces, whether it's a Caleb Downs, whether it's a Jordan Tyson, whether it's a Carnell Tate, whether it's this guy or that guy, a Reuben Bain, who knows? Like, it could be whatever players you think, you know, fits what the Giants need. But those players are now young, they're cost-controlled, and you get multiple of them because now you also get 2027 draft capital as well, maybe an extra second-round pick. So now you have all of these players on really, really cost-efficient contracts that the new GM and new head coach believe fit their identity, fit the system they're going to be building, and fit the culture they're trying to create, which is a really good thing because now you have more bodies that fit your mold, you know, in the sense of the new general manager and head coach. And, you know, you think about what you can do with the extra money you have there, right? After 2026, you can cut Javon Holland. You can cut Darius Slayton. You can cut Paulson Adebo if they're not playing up to their deals and save like $40, $50 million in cap space that now you can say, okay, those guys weren't very good. Let's take that $50 million cap space on top, by the way, Anthony, on top of the $117 million we currently have projected in 2027. And now you got 50 plus mil extra there. And you still have restructures you can implement. Like, there is... The ideas are endless, right? In 2027, you have multiple first-round picks and one of the strongest draft classes projected in the last couple of years. You know, that's how you build a winning team. You keep costs low. You use your draft capital to create more because of how valuable it is. And you commit to the young star talent that you already have without overspending to solve past mistakes. That is how you do it. You add more draft picks, you don't take them away, and you certainly don't take the one inspiring thing you have on this offense in Jackson Dart. You certainly don't take that to run the freaking risk to play Russian roulette with Fernando Mendoza coming out of Indiana. Okay, like, you don't, and I like Mendoza. I'm not taking that gamble. That is Russian roulette. That is straight up freaking roulette, black, red. You just don't know what's going to happen. You don't do that, man. You just don't take risks like that.
You don't. And anybody who's advocating for this to draft Mendoza is going to say, well, look at what the Cardinals did when they got rid of Josh Rosen with Kyler Murray. Josh Rosen, historically bad. He was the worst rookie quarterback I have ever seen in my lifetime. And how many people would agree with that? He was awful as a rookie. And this is a quarterback prospect that, admittedly, I was a fan of coming out of UCLA. I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he had a lot of traits similar to Eli Manning, in fact, in his playing style. He was nothing like Eli Manning. He was not an NFL quarterback. Jackson Dart, on the other hand, he has 2.3 touchdowns per game in his starts this season. That is behind only Josh Allen and Matthew Stafford. Nobody is scoring touchdowns at a higher rate than Jackson Dart, Josh Allen, and Matthew Stafford. Think about that. Jackson Dart, 1,800 passing yards, 400 rushing yards, first quarterback to ever do that. Think about how good he has been in these starts, despite how bad this team has been. Defense can't get a stop to save their lives. They cannot close out games and allow Jackson Dart to actually put wins on his record this year. They can't do that for him. But he's fighting, he's battling, he's putting them in position to win these games. I mean, he's not even throwing to an NFL group of wide receivers. Jalin Hyatt does not belong in this league. Let's be frank about it. Wan'Dale Robinson is his number one receiver. Wan'Dale Robinson is WR3 on a lot of teams in this league, respectfully, and I love Wan'Dale Robinson. I mean, seriously, Malik Nabers out for the year. He had four games that he played with Cam Scataboo. His best players are not on the field right now, and this is what he's achieving? Wait till next year when he actually has those players healthy, when he has some extra talent around him. He's going to be awesome. And let me make this one last comparison between him and Mendoza, Alex. Fernando Mendoza, like you said, very good player at Indiana. At Indiana, he led the nation with 33 passing touchdowns. That's great. Last year, in the SEC for Ole Miss, Jackson Dart had 4,400 passing yards. That's 1,000 yards more than Fernando Mendoza threw for this year. He had 29 passing touchdowns, and he had more rushing touchdowns than Mendoza had. He scored more touchdowns than Mendoza last year. He threw for more yards than Mendoza last year. He rushed for more yards than Mendoza last year, and he did it in a tougher conference. That is all you need to know. If you want to compare them as prospects, compare them as prospects. I would argue there's a really good chance if Jackson Dart was in this year's draft class, he would be QB1. And I get it. Mendoza's been great, and he is QB1 in this draft class. He's going to be the first overall pick, more likely than not. You could make an argument that as prospects, Jackson Dart is a better prospect. You could seriously make that argument. And if you're going to also factor in the fact that Jackson Dart has proven he is a good starting NFL quarterback, and the fact that Mendoza has not played an NFL snap, I don't even know how this is an idea that anybody on WFAN, anybody in any YouTube comment section is entertaining at all. It makes literally no sense to me. Jackson Dart is a better quarterback right now than Fernando Mendoza just based on the fact that he's played an NFL season alone.
I mean, dude, you could argue that Jackson Dart's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about here? What are we really discussing? Like, let's look at the NFL right now. I mean, obviously he's not as good as Josh Allen. I think he's much better than Tua. I think Drake May is obviously better right now. He's better than Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields or Brady Cook. I'd say Dak, the way he's been playing lately, definitely is excellent. I think he's better than Jalen Hurts as a passer for sure. I think right now, with the way Jaden Daniels, I love Jaden Daniels. I love that guy, but he's been injured this year, so I really won't factor him in. I need to see him like get back and healthy. Of course, you know, not better than Lamar or Joe Burrow, but he's better than Shedeur Sanders. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. Caleb Williams has been balling. I think he's probably equal to not better. What would you think about him and Jared Goff? You think he's better than Jared Goff?
That's a tough one. I think I think that the Lions they run a system for Jared Goff and he's really good. And I don't know if I can give you an answer. I think it's closer than people expect though, because Jared Goff is a really good quarterback, but I think that the Lions would love to have a quarterback with the dynamic rushing ability of Jackson Dart. I think they might win more. I think what you need to ask is, would X team win more games if Jackson Dart was their quarterback right now? I think that the Carolina Panthers have been really good this year. Bryce Young has definitely taken steps forward. I think that they would have won more games this year if Jackson Dart was their quarterback.
Dude, Dart in that Lions offense would be unbelievable. Unbelievable. I know. He's better than J.J. McCarthy. I'd say he's been better than C.J. Stroud this year. He's better than Daniel Jones. Trevor Lawrence has been freaking insane. You know all about that from last week. He's better than Cam Ward. He's better than Michael Penix. Better than Kirk Cousins. Better than C.J. Young or freaking whatever. He's better than C.J. Young. I don't know. Bryce Young, sorry. Not CJ Young. Bryce Young. He's better than Tyler Shuck. Baker Mayfield is interesting. I don't know if I can give him that one just yet, but he
might be long term. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can compare him right now to all these quarterbacks, and you can make the argument that he's better than half of the quarterbacks starting in the NFL
for sure
right now. And he has started only 9 games. That's the key thing here.
Most rookie quarterbacks never step into the league in our top 15. In the first year, I'd say Jackson Dart's easily top 15 in a quarterback in the NFL this season.
Jackson Dart right now, he gets a lot of comparisons to Josh Allen because of the way that he plays.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, when he was a rookie, not holding a candle to Jackson Dart as a rookie. Jackson Dart is better as a rookie than Josh Allen. Josh Allen sucked as a rookie. And the Bills didn't give up on him because they saw the potential, and then he became an MVP.
Yeah, could you imagine? Jackson Dart's floor, man.
Right. This is his floor. Could you imagine if the Giants did give up on Jackson Dart, went with Mendoza, and all of a sudden, Dart goes to another quarterback needy team, call it the Dolphins next year, and he started to develop into an absolute monster, became an MVP in 2 years. Could you imagine if that happened? We would be, I would stop rooting for this freaking team. I really would.
Me too.
Why would you just take the risk? Like, I don't get it. And I know maybe at this point we're beating a dead horse here and we're probably going to wrap this episode soon anyway. But listen, there are a lot of fans. I've seen a growing number of fans who've been making this argument, draft Mendoza. And it just perplexes me. And honestly, we put off talking about this for a while, but
we got to
a point where, we didn't even want to discuss it. We thought it was moot point. It was stupid. But we've seen so many people leaving these comments and having these conversations on the radio, on TV, on Twitter. And so we're like, listen, we got to put this one to rest. Jackson Dart is the Giants quarterback. Unless something catastrophic happens in these final three games, knock on wood, God forbid he has an injury, he's the starting quarterback week one, 2026. And you go into next season with extra talent around him and you feel good about the Giants' chances of making the playoffs because of what Jackson Dart did as a rookie. That's it. Bottom line, you roll with Dart in 2026 and you don't even think about it.
100%. And let me add an extra layer to this in terms of the draft capital, right? The Giants, let's say it's 2026. The Giants have traded the first overall pick away. They have, let's say, Tyson or Tate or Downs on the team. Like, you're feeling really good about one of those three players. You also have your second round pick and, you know, future. We don't have a third, but we have the other picks. And maybe you have two second round picks in 2026. So you're really adding a lot of talent here. But the most important thing about the 2027 picks is that if the Giants are crushing, if, like, let's say they turn things around, their head coach, GM, they're kicking ass, they're winning games, the aura, the vibes are high and back, and the Giants get to the trade deadline, and they've won 6-7 games at this point. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Again, this is a very much a perfect case scenario. The Giants are like, we're feeling really good. This is our chance. There's not, you know, teams are struggling. We can make a run this year. I mean, look at the NFL. The Patriots seem to be the best team, and, like, they are a beatable team still. There's no, like, true, like, peak Chiefs team this season. It's very much open to a lot of opportunity. If the Giants are feeling really good next year at the trade deadline and they're like, you know, we have one big weakness and maybe it's cornerback, maybe it's an offensive line position, maybe it's this, they can dip into that draft capital they essentially got for free by trading back to say, hold on a second, you know, we don't have to wait to go take a chance in the draft. We have all this money because of all these young players we have. You know, we're going to get out of some big contracts after the season. Let's trade one of those future draft picks for a proven commodity that fills a need that we have right now that can push us over the top. Think about all the opportunity that trading back allows you to expand upon. So it's in the team's best interest to build around Dart. He's obviously a good kid. Like, he has everything you want in a modern NFL quarterback. He's learning and growing like every single player. I just compared him to a bunch of different players around the NFL. None of those guys are young. Most of those guys, 5-6 year veterans, 4 at the very least. You know what I mean? So we're talking about a guy in year one that is better than guys that have been developing for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And that is a really good place to start. Let's not destroy the process before we even get started. The Giants, if they bring in a good head coach, they bring in a good GM, they get some good coordinators, they position this team to build around this young superstar, talented player, like, they could be great. But at the end of the day, and I'll end it here, Anthony, it all comes down to who they hire. It all will ultimately, that will define Jackson Dart's career, who they hire. And I wouldn't be a Giants fan if I didn't sit here and tell you I am scared shitless about that. I am really scared about who they're gonna hire for these positions.
Me too, because even I, somebody who I think historically on this channel was pretty negative about Daniel Jones. I was adamant that they shouldn't pay him in 2023. I was adamant that they needed to move on from him as soon as he started playing poorly in 2023. I understand he went and I'm not kicking a guy while he's down right here. I'm just kind of putting context in my historical kind of thoughts and ideas about the quarterback position for the New York Giants. Historical context said I wanted to move on from Daniel Jones many years ago, but even I bought into the hype after a good rookie season. Even I said Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback after his rookie season. Hell, I said it after 2022 when he led the Giants to their first playoff win, even though I wanted them to franchise tag him after that. Now, let me make this point that I'm getting to. After 2019, he had that good rookie season. I bought in. I said that the New York Giants should build around him. They should explore it further. Even though I was a huge Justin Herbert fan coming out of Oregon, I said the Giants should not go quarterback back-to-back years. They need to build around this kid who has potential in Daniel Jones. The reason why Daniel Jones did not become a good quarterback for the Giants is not because he was a bad rookie quarterback or a bad quarterback when he entered the NFL. The reason is because they hired Joe Judge. Plainly speaking, that's what it is. They hired Joe Judge and Jason Garrett. So when you say you're scared shitless, so am I. Because Jackson Dart, super impressive. I'm advocating for building around him right here, right now. I think that he has Josh Allen potential. Like a lot of analysts and experts also agree, he has Josh Allen potential for the New York Giants. He will not reach that potential if they hire another Joe Judge, Jason Garrett combo. They need to get this hiring right. This is one of the most important moments, in my opinion, in New York Giants franchise history. They need to get the right man in for the job this offseason to lead this team for the future and make sure that they do not fail the development of Jackson Dart. Otherwise, 3 years' time, we will say, shit, I wish we did draft Fernando Mendoza. That's what this is going to be, the end result, if the Giants fail to get the right coach in here to develop Jackson Dart. So I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up here, because that probably leads us into tomorrow's episode, where we're probably going to talk about head coaches and who the Giants could or should or would hire based on everything that we just discussed. So you guys know where we stand. I want to hear where you all stand down below in the comment section. Do you think that the Giants should draft Fernando Mendoza? Did we miss something here? Are we the crazy ones? Let us know down below in the comment section if you feel that way. Do you agree with us? Let everybody else know that anybody who wants to draft Fernando Mendoza is out of their minds. And also, we know you guys do agree that this is an important head coach hiring. Give us your thoughts, your takes on the head coach hiring. Who do you want the Giants to hire down below in the comment section? Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. If you listen to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all in the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.